Hello, and a warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You canna beat the scran, doing it, Marcos. This week, we have been joined by goalkeeper Lenny Wilson. In part one, Lenny tells us about the extraordinary and once-in-a-lifetime journey from Aberdeen's youth team to starring in America's college soccer leagues.
Okay, this week we've been joined by goalkeeper Lenny Wilson. Lenny, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You, Paul, how about yourself?
I'm all right, yes, working away. How's the last sort of 3-4 months been for you?
Feels more like a year, does it? It's certainly been different. I mean, everyone's in the same boat, just trying to stay fit and looking forward to being back. And, you know, there's only so many 5Ks and 10Ks you can do without, you know, boring yourself to death. So, looking forward, at least we've got a date now, you know, something to look forward to.
And does that make a difference now that we've got a date, you can kind of start making plans?
Yeah, I think it sort of changes what you maybe do training-wise as well. I mean, for me, I was just trying to keep a decent baseline fitness. You know, that's where your 5Ks, 10Ks are maybe half useful for a goalkeeper. But now I'm trying to do more like, you know, sharper stuff, you know, to be more maybe agile based. So, and, you know, a couple of my friends who play like juniors and stuff, they're starting to do stuff as well. So we try to get together and, you know, kick the ball about and whatnot. So, no, it's been decent. Loads of weather stays half decent. Get out there and try and stay as fit as possible.
Has it been difficult trying to keep yourself motivated to keep fit, Lenny?
Yeah, it was strange. The first few weeks, I think it was around that time, you see where everybody was starting to nominate each other for 5Ks and stuff. I think that's where the motivation was started. You thought, oh, do that in a good time. And then it sort of slumped a wee bit. But you still, you know yourself that you have to stay fit or else you can quickly lose it and it's a long way back. So, no, the motivation's still been decent, to be fair. I mean, the last, obviously, as soon as the dates came out for the season, you thought, extra bit of motivation. And I've been out doing a bit more, more intensity, as I was just saying, more sharper, like sprint stuff, you know, shuttles and stuff. So, no motivation still there. I mean, many people are surprised for that, but no, it's been decent.
We were speaking to some of the guys, obviously, during the course of this lockdown, and they've mentioned that Hoggy's been giving them plenty of stuff to do. Have you been getting plenty as well? Have you been getting any extra stuff from Scott Tate, for example?
Not individual. I mean, for a keeper, it's more difficult, isn't it? I mean, outfielders, you know, go to a wall and smash a ball, work on the touch and whatnot. For a keeper, you can't really be doing a whole lot. You can't be diving the concrete or, you know, doing too much handling-wise. But, no, just as I said, try to just stay fit. I mean, that's an important thing. But in terms of, like, technical-based stuff, only the last maybe couple of weeks and stuff, I've been, as I said, with my pals, they've been, you know, firing a few shots and whatnot, just trying to, you know, get the hands warm again. So, as the season comes closer and we get a date for pre-season, the intensity for that will definitely go up as well.
But there's nothing like an actual game in itself, really, is there?
No, I mean, even just being in that environment of with the guys again, getting some stick, getting some work in, is all that, all the above, nothing really compares. I mean, under no illusion, I'm sure the first few weeks will be pretty much fitness-based. I'm sure the manager will trust us to be fit coming back in, but there'll be another scenario, you know, the dreaded bleep test or whatever else will be around the corner.
That's the one thing that we've noticed as well. A lot of guys have said they've missed the kind of day-to-day stuff, just being around with the guys. Is it that kind of thing that at the end of the day it'll get you through?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of the lads have come on here and said it's a great group of guys and maybe I think it's a rehearsed answer, but it's a really good group of guys. I think it's a good blend of older guys who've been there and done it, who are good with us younger lads like myself, Ben, Aidan, Jason. You'd almost put Jason as an older lad now, the amount of first team football that he's had. So, no, it's a great group of guys and it'll be good to see them again. I'm sure they're all doing well and looking forward to it also.
Is that one of the things you've missed in me, is getting together with the guys and that bit of, you know, as you said, the banter in the dressing room as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame. We didn't really get much of a chance to, like, you know, we didn't obviously didn't know what was coming around the corner, to say, like, goodbye to each other and all that. And, you know, seeing 4 or 5 months or whatever, we didn't have any inclination for that. So, No, hopefully when we return, it's pretty much the same squad. And I imagine there'll be a few new faces, some gone, some coming in. So, no, you do miss the banner, either though, if you're on the receiving end of it. Yeah, you definitely miss a bit of sticky in there.
Okay, then let's talk about you a bit more then. So, goalkeeper, how did you come about? Because it's quite a specialist subject. Nobody really wants to do it for a start.
Aye, put the fat boy in the goal. I was actually an outfielder when till about the age of maybe 10, 11. Nothing too spectacular. I mean, I played for a good boys club that would play against the likes of like your Aberdeen, your FDS and whatnot. I was actually like a centre mid or like a right back. And I remember our keeper got injured for a couple of games and I was like, I quite enjoyed this. So I went on to one of these Aberdeen like summer camps, just like, you know, community based camps, just where any kid can go along. I just thought, you know what, I'm going to go in as a keeper for a week. At the end of that week, the head of goalkeeping for the Youth Academy at Aberdeen was leading it. At the end of it, he was like, so you're telling me you weren't even a keeper before you came in? And obviously, within that week, they saw enough to be like, you know what, do you fancy it? Like, you know, coming in on trial as a keeper for Aberdeen under-11s or whatever it was, under-10s. I remember being like, just didn't expect it kind of thing, you know. Obviously, being an Aberdeen fan, it was a no-brainer. I thought, yeah, absolutely, pinching myself. And then, trial went well. And then, obviously, they're in touch with your parents, not the individual at that age. And my dad got a phone call, and I think it was a Friday night. He had a couple of beers, and he'd his phone number. It was Neil Simpson on the phone, being, oh, does Lenny fancy coming to Murray Park to play against Rangers on the Sunday? I think my dad's really spat his drink out and was just kind of like, what's going on? So, and from there, that was it. We just enjoyed being a dafty diving about. And I think technically I was probably limited as an outfielder to probably being, you know, maybe like a junior's level or something, but nothing more than that.
So who was your manager at the time at Aberdeen?
Ooh, under 11s, who'd have been early doors? I remember it was Gavin Levy, who is now the head. He was my first, was it him? He was under 11s, yeah. And then I moved on to like Vicky Cheen, under 14s or 15s, then you step up and it's the two brothers, I can't remember their last name, Colin and Kevin something. And then I left after the first year of 17s, got released and then went to Inverness. So being an Aberdeen fan, obviously when you get released from Aberdeen, you're kind of heartbroken and you think that's it over, but there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Did they give you a reason why you left, or was it your decision to leave?
It definitely wasn't my decision. I remember when you're under 17s, you've got 2 years. You're coming up from under 15s, and you get 2 years to kind of prove yourself for a full-time contract. And there was me and this older lad who were in the 17s, the keepers. He was Glasgow-based, no idea what he's doing now, kind of thing. So we would do half a round. So for the first half of the season, we did half a round, and then Colin, one of the managers, came to me and was like, we want you to keep playing, like, you know, more minutes, kind of thing. Like, you're doing better than the guy, and I thought, this is brilliant. And it was all going fine and dandy, and then they took me aside and was like, look, you're doing really well. I was like, don't worry about it, but we're going to give the other boy, Scott at the time, like Scott McCauley, we're going to give him the chance to, you know, prove himself a bit more, because obviously he's only got 6 months left to prove himself or to get a contract or not. So I was like, you know what, I was happy being like, you know, I've got an arm around me, I'll be sorted. But then I do remember, it was the last two or three games, we played Hibs away and it was like a torrential, if anyone's been there, they'll know it's in the most open area of their training ground, and it was a torrential downpour. And I just remember Willie Miller at the time, who was the head of youth there, first time I'd ever really met him, he was taking the team that day, because I think our coach was either away doing a coaching course or ill or whatever, but he took the team that day, and I just had an absolute bomb scare. And the first time we'd met each other, and he also just thought, who's this clown in between a goal? So that was a great start, and then I think it was the last day of that season, we played Dundee United, and that was the second time I met him, and I've thrown another one. I've probably like the two mistakes I made all season. But then I thought, you know what, you know, two mistakes, I'll be fine. All the other coaches know, you know, what the scenario is. And then I just remember going into the meeting, usually I had a good relationship with like say, Neil Simpson and Colin Grant and all the other hierarchy there. And you can just tell as soon as I sat down, you could just cut the tension with a knife. And then that was it. Obviously at that age, as an Aberdeen fan, what was I, 16 or 17, I can't remember. You just think, that's it over. Like, good whilst it lasted. And being from Aberdeen, you don't immediately think, oh, there'll be another club in to pick me up. You just think, that's it. Down the Highland League or something. So I thought that was the end of it for me. I wasn't particularly interested in travelling to Inverness or anything like that at the time. I just thought, you know, well, I'll just chuck it, go and play with my mates. But I think, thankfully, my dad kind of just like, you know, are you sure you want to just chuck it? Or, you know, Jason's going there. And I think with Jason going there, it gave me, you know, something to believe in that, you know, it's possible to go and travel these places and play. And thankfully, I did, because it was a good experience there as well.
It kept you motivated to stay in football. You just said there, obviously, it was heartbreaking to leave Aberdeen, and two mistakes you made that season was obviously the ones that you think cost you. It kept you going to stay in football, because a lot of people might have just chucked it there and then.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was, as I mentioned earlier, I had a good arm around me being like, you know, you're doing well, like, you know, you're making good progress, like you're making good steps to, you know, getting a full-time contract maybe before your 2 years kind of thing. So I think that was easy to forget at the time. Once I was released, I thought, you know, they obviously don't rate me, and maybe I don't rate myself anymore. But I don't know. I think I always wanted to keep playing. It was more just the case of, can I be bothered travelling to Inverness for it, you know, still in school and whatnot. So, but no, I think I always deep down believed I was maybe better than going to play for, I don't know, like Bucky Thistles, like under 19s or something. I think that was still a step above that. But no, as I mentioned, thankfully I had my dad that, you know, talked some sense into me kind of thing, you know.
How did the move to Inverness come about then? Like you said you couldn't really be bothered. So what can I persuade you to then go?
Well, I mean, the head of youth at the time there in Inverness, he might still be, I'm not sure, but Charlie Christie, he got in contact with my dad, and obviously I spoke to him, and he just managed to sell it quite well, being like, look, obviously he knows a lot of lads that get released from other clubs and think, you know, including Inverness, that they think it's over. Like, just because one club doesn't fancy doesn't mean another one, you know, one door closed, another opens kind of thing. And he just said, you know what, come up, you know, next training session, start a pre-season, see if you enjoy it. Obviously, like, Jason will be travelling with us. So, yeah, just come up, see if you enjoy it, enjoy the lads, enjoy the training, whatnot. And went up, and it was actually good. I mean, you get a bit of crack on the train on the way up. There was a couple of us, Jason, and there was a few others that are now, you know, can't remember, maybe playing like juniors now or something, but there was like three or four of us who used to travel, so it was actually quite a good laugh on a Friday night. You finish school on a Friday, meet, get the train up at like 4 o'clock or something, and get there for about training at 7. It was quite a long, you get back late, but it was actually quite a good laugh, and there was a good team that we had there as well. And Once I did pre-season and realised that the journey there wasn't bad, it was a no-brainer.
Was the coaching different, or was it the styles different? Did you sort of pick up any bits and pieces?
Obviously, just training with the team once a week was a bit different. Because Aberdeen, it was two or three times a week. Obviously, getting to see the guys only once a week, which is kind of similar to what it is at Peter Hedges now, was different. But coaching-wise, it was actually pretty good. Charlie Christie was there quite a lot. The goalkeeping coach was Ryan Essen. He did quite a few of the coaching sessions there. And again, at that level, you're expecting it to be decent players. And there's decent players at Inverness that are, you know, gone on and do decent things, whether that's in the Highland League now or making a few appearances for Inverness's first team. So, no, great place, no complaints there.
Did they give you any kind of reassurances of what they thought you could do, or was just a kind of case?
Yeah, to be fair to them, they laid it on the plate quite simply. They had a homegrown guy who was actually a decent keeper. I think the clubs like Ross County and Inverness, you know, the northern teams, they're they're quite loyal to their homegrown talent, like boys from the area, and they were pretty straight with me. They're like, look, we've got a guy who we're pretty certain is going to get full time regardless of what you do, kind of thing, you know. It'd be up to you, you know, to kind of try to twist around to, you know, take in two full-time keepers that year. But the way it worked out was kind of like they didn't really have the budget to be handing out contracts to two keepers. Plus, obviously, the outfielders that take preference kind of thing. So they basically said, look, we both, me and this other guy who was a good goalkeeper, both had good seasons, and they said, look, like we told you at the start, we only really have budget for kind of, you know, maybe four or five guys to go full-time. And, you know, right now we don't need two new full-time goalkeepers, so best of luck going forward. Like, well, we can help you, give you references to just about anywhere that you fancy, kind of thing. So, and they were great with me. I mean, can't really hold any grudges there. They were honest with me from the start, and yeah, no problem at all.
Did it make it slightly easier that they weren't quite open with you from the start and they didn't try to hide anything from you?
Well, that's it. If they hadn't told me that from the start and then dropped that a bombshell on me at the end, I would have been a bit more resentment kind of thing. But no, with them being so transparent from the start, I knew that I'd have to do something, you know, pretty special to, or hope that, you know, Inverness had a really good season in the first team to, you know, get some more money behind them. But I don't know, I can't remember if it was that year they went down or if it was the year after or before, I can't remember. But no, it was a good development. Like, you know, to stay at that level instead of dropping down, you know, probably helped me become a better player as well, you know. So, no, I really enjoyed my time. I mean, I look back at my Aberdeen days and have quite a few resentments, but Inverness ones now.
And from there, you went travel south to Arbroath. How was that?
Mm-hmm. Really good, yeah. Probably the club that probably gave me my biggest development of my career, to be honest. So when I signed, it was just from a 19s contract. Obviously, coming from an SBL club down to, at the time, was a League One club, I think. I was kind of sceptical like what the standard would be like, because I was involved with the first team for a couple of pre-season sessions, just for Paul Sheeran at the time, he was the manager, to have a look at. But predominantly I was signed for the 19s. So when we went in, we had two managers at the 19s who, you know, after one session were like, yeah, no problem at all, signed here, perfect. Not on any money, just signed. Really enjoyed it, played every Saturday. First five games, you know, standard was actually quite decent. But I was after only like five or six games. The second choice with the first team got injured or released, I can't remember. He left. And I was just from there on the second choice. I think I was 16 at the time. Yeah, I was 16, yeah, so Inverness, and yeah, straight up, yeah. So I was 16, just on the bench, and at that age, it's a bit of a thrill, you know, go to different stadiums and experiencing, like, first-team football kind of thing, so really enjoyed it. On the Saturday, we'd play, well, be on the bench for the first team, and on the Sunday, play for the 19s, so I was getting the best of both worlds kind of thing.
And do you think that maybe not playing, maybe just being on the bench all the time, would it have been better if you'd been still been playing regular? No, for the 19s rather than just being second choice?
Oh, no, I was still playing, because on the Saturday we'd be the first team and on the Sunday the 19s would play. So I was getting the best of both worlds. It was ideal, really. Obviously, it would take up my whole weekend, but at that age, you're not really too fussed about your weekends getting drowned out with football. So,
save you doing other things.
Exactly. So, no, it was really good, and Paul Sheeran was excellent with me and all the other first-teamers, who quite a lot of them are actually still there, believe it or not, like Sir Bobby Lynn and Ricky Little and stuff. Obviously, I was a 16-year-old and kind of a rabbit in the headlights trying to, you know, integrate with the first team. So, no, they were quality with me in training and on match days as well. So, obviously, getting that match day experience, you know, warming up and, you know, the occasional bit of stick from fans with the first out, really. First experience I've ever got of that, so no, really good, really enjoyed it.
Who was the number one at the time, can you remember?
Scott Morrison. on my first spell there, in Scott Morrison, and then it was a guy, Tony Bullock, who was the second choice, but he either, I think he went to Montrose to be the keeper coach, if I remember right. And then, obviously, Paul Sheehan had seen me play for the 19s and done a couple of training sessions with him and just said, look, do you fancy getting some experience here? And I was still not under any paid contract. I just did it, you know, just because I was a 16-year-old, that wanted the experience kind of thing.
Did you get much advice from the goalkeepers there?
Yeah, I mean, I still, now and again, will be in contact with the boy Scott Morrison now. He was great with me. Obviously, he knew I was not really competition for him at 16 years old, but I think he knew he could, like, you know, guide me right, you know, on and off the pitch. He was quality with me. Great keeper as well to watch from. So at that age, you're kind of, you know, not mesmerised, but you're kind of fixated on, like, just, you know, being there and, like, seeing the stadiums and whatnot. You're not really watching kind of thing. Well, at least I wasn't anyway. I was kind of just, you know, too excited to kind of even just be there. So looking back, I probably should have, you know, soaked it more in. But it's so long ago now, it feels like, I mean, I'm only 23, but it feels like...
I was going to say, you sound like an old man there. It's so long ago.
I know. Too many rough nights in America, probably. But no, he was quality with me on and off the pitch, and I still speak to him, so hopefully I'll bump into him again soon.
And I guess our growth not being too far down the road for Aberdeen probably helped as well.
Yeah, and I actually had a couple of local lads that played for the 19s that were from Aberdeen that we would, you know, share lifts with, so that was ideal as well. Boys, you'll know Scott Adams as well, though. Yeah, he was part of that team as well. So me and another lad who's now playing for locals, we used to share lifts. So no, it was good. Made a really good team there as well. Made the Scottish Youth League Cup semi final against Celtic. But you can imagine how that went. And then yeah, it was a really good team. I thought we defied a lot of expectations. So.
I think it bodes well, or you can see how well they're doing in the championship as well. So they obviously had some kind of bedding in, or sort of the groundwork was set 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah,
so they've done well.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's a great club, from, you know, directors right through to folk in the canteen. So you can see, I mean, as I said, there's quite a lot of the core of the team that is still there from when I was there, like Colin Hamilton, Bobby Lynn, Ricky Little. Boy Stephen Dawes, he was there recently. He's obviously not a forfer, but he was there at the time. Who else have you got? Still there. There's probably a couple of others that I just can't remember just now. But I think even the most ambitious of our growth fans would have never expected them to do as well as they've done the last 3-4 years, though. From being down in League 2, I remember, was it my first spell or my second spell? I remember on the last day we got relegated down to Airdrie, and I've never seen a dressing room so flat in my life. I think that actually might be my last game before I left to go to America. And I remember thinking, goodness me, like, I hope they get up. But never did I think, you know, after my 4 years, they'd be in the championship. So,
And doing well in the championship as well, not just sort of scraping.
Probably unlucky not well. To... They probably didn't want the season to finish, to be honest. The way they were going, playoffs, and then anything can happen in the playoffs. And then, goodness me, they've got a one-shot playoff for the... been in the SPL, so no, I'm delighted to see them do well. I'm delighted for the lads that are still there that, you know, have dragged them out of League 2 right into the Championship. It's great to see, so hopefully get a game against them. You never know, in the Betfred Cup or something.
You never know. It could be the Championship.
Actually, I hope it's not a gay field at the Hurricane, but...
So then, what were you, 16, 17, 18, when this trip to America came about?
Yeah, I was 17 is when I first heard about it. I remember I was playing for the Scottish schools, and we actually had a game at Ewood Park against England. And then, what was it, maybe a week after we got back from that trip, I remember just getting a call from the head of youth there, and then I went down there for a while. Things didn't work out the way I wanted after I was there for maybe start of pre-season right through to the first three or four games with under-18s. And then, it's all worked out just as planned, to be honest, because the guy who I was in competition with after the 18s to go straight to under-23s was the boy David Rea, who's now at Brentford linked with a £10 million move to the Premier League or something. So I think they probably made that call right, to be honest. things didn't work out there, and to be honest, no real regrets. I think I did about as well as I possibly could have. And I think after that is when I realised, like, do I fancy going back and just kind of grafting away in the Scottish lower leagues, or there's this voice in the back of my head that's, you know, whispering America to me. So once I got the paperwork through about, you know, the financial offer and what, you know, did a bit more research on it, I was pretty much sold. Get your degree paid for, the life experience you get out there. Spoke to a couple of boys that had been out there for a year or two and just said, it's a no-brainer. So, I left when I was 18.
Was it a big decision? Did you sort of take time to think about it? Did you discuss it first?
Yeah, well, obviously I spoke to my dad, and then I had to really kind of speak to our both about it as well, because they were asking, like, why are you holding off on, like, a contract kind of thing? Like, what's going on in the background kind of thing? And I don't know. To be fair to our both, they were pretty good with me about it. They understood, like, the opportunity that came with it. It wasn't just football-related. It's, you know, setting yourself up for life with a degree as well. So, Paul Sheeran was great with me. The goalkeeper coach, Jim Butter, was great with me. And they understood once I made the decision that, you know what, the overall experience of, you know, getting a degree, playing at a high level, living in New York instead of Aberdeen, for me, it just hit too many boxes for me to turn it down. And I realised, you know, if I don't do it now, I'll never get the chance to, you know, playing for, you know, Highland League or something back here, or, you know, League One, League Two should always be available to me. So, no brainer in the end, and thank goodness I did it, because it was by far the best 4 years of my life.
Is it slightly difficult to leave Arbroath, considering how good they'd been to you? Obviously, it's a decision that you couldn't really turn down in the end. Was it slightly difficult to leave that to Arbroath?
Yeah. I mean, it was tough to leave. I mean, either I didn't really have a lot of experience playing with the first team. I mean, I owed that club a lot, just in terms of overall development. I mean, playing for the under-19s and knocking on the door of the first team, and just the coaches just being so genuine with me. Like, they allowed me to go to our Blackburn as well, because obviously my contract was up, and they let me, you know, go on trial there. So they were great. I mean, I do owe them a lot, probably more than they probably can imagine, just in terms of, I mean, at that age, you're kind of developing a lot as a player. I know he's 16 to 18, and just that team that we had under 19s, as I mentioned earlier, was, you know, we were pretty much unbeatable for a while. So, I do owe them a lot. And but as I said, not a bad word to say about them at all. Great club.
New York is slightly more impressive than Arbroath, it's got to be said, is it?
Slightly different, believe it or not.
There's no smokies in New York, anyway.
Nah, no smokies in Miami, anyway.
Well, they might call smokies something else over there, though, maybe.
Yeah, probably best to leave that one out. No, obviously, unbelievable. I remember getting off the plane. Well, I remember the day flying out there being like, am I making the right decision? Kind of like last-minute jitters. You know, leaving family behind and whatnot. So I just remember landing at JFK thinking, like, there's no going back now, unless there's a plane go back in the next couple hours or so. So that was me committed. I remember as soon as I turned up to the, the American phrase are going to come out now. I turned up to the campus, getting, like, my room sorted and all that, being like, well, first it was American summer, so it's humid and roasting, being like, I am miles out of my depth here for a start. Never mind starting a pre-season soon. So it was amazing getting the pre-season done. Probably lost an absolute ton of weight just by sweating every day, double sessions for about 2 weeks, and then from there just never looked back, really. I think a lot of people don't know the standard that is out there, I think it's a very much like, you know, you kind of cast it as one big net over here. Like, you know, it's all sorts of different levels. You've got like your Division 1, 2, and 3, and obviously at a Division 1, you can get some really good players. Like, you just need to look at history. I mean, the boy Jack Harrison, who's now playing for Leeds, he played out there, you know, only 3-4 years ago. So the quality is there. There's people from all over the world as well. Like, you have teammates that have come out of academies from France and Germany. You know, you're all now in the same boat. They've all had, they had similar experiences where they feel as if, you know, with a flip of a coin, they could still be under a full-time contract with these clubs. And obviously, that diversity and playing against foreigners, it's a completely different game to playing in League One in Scotland. So, no, unbelievable. And I remember, because my the first university, I attended two universities when I went out there. The first one I went to was probably not as quite a prestigious, like, nationwide reputation university as the one I ended up at St. John's, but they're both in New York. And obviously, to get the experience at two different universities as well, was quality as well. So really enjoyed my time.
Is it something you'd encourage other people to do as well?
I honestly couldn't, you know, push anyone to do it more. I think if anyone's indecisive, I mean, I can understand the indecision because I was there myself, but I think you just need to weigh up your options. Be like, well, if you stay in the UK, whether that be England or Scotland, what realistically are you going to do? You're probably going to attempt to balance university with play at what? Highland League, or, you know, maybe at best a League One or a League Two. Well, you can go out with one, plus you've got to pay for your accommodation and whatnot. You're maybe living in with your parents or whatever. Whatever the scenario may be, but you can go out to the States, you know, if you're a decent player with half decent, you don't have to be a genius to go out there. You know, you can get your degree paid for, your housing paid for, whilst playing in, you know, New York, Las Vegas, California, whatever you want, really. And just because you go to a school in New York doesn't mean you're not going to have to, you know, play a game in California and stuff. So it really is amazing. And obviously the social side that come with it as well is probably slightly better than your average night out in Scotland as well.
Ever so slightly.
In America, I mean, college sport as a whole is massive anyway. They pump a lot of money into that. When you obviously been there and you sort of sampled the youth level in Scotland and been over in America, was there massive differences to what you were seeing?
Oh, incomparable with that. I mean, at least some people will have seen pictures or videos of the American football, and, you know, you go to these schools and there'll be like 100,000 people at the game, 100,000 people at a university game. You can't compare that to here. Like, it's not compatible. You can hardly even compare it to the professional sport. So, I mean, what they call soccer, what we call football, is slightly different in that it's not as big. Well, one, because the stadiums usually aren't as big. Two, because the interest isn't as big. But it's still big. I mean, my last year we went to Santa Barbara over in West Coast, California. And there was, 14,500, 16,000 people there just at a university game. I mean, it's good because, like, your university, like, it's a community kind of feel, like, they are like your fans, you know, just like regular students who just like support the university. And then you'll have local like alumni who, you know, are still invested in seeing their, you know, team doing well. So, you know, it's a really good kind of family feel to it as well. So, but one thing I did notice as well, like the fans, it's a completely different culture. It's not here you'll get in the neck pretty personally. It's all pretty, you know, kind of lame stick that you get there. You can definitely handle that there.
Well, it's not the kind of stick you'd get for a Clyde fan or something like that.
Nah, it'd be a lot more personal. They've probably done the research or something on you before. nothing quite like that at all.
Is the coaching style different over there as well?
Yeah, it is actually, because I mean, how they work it out there is that your season will start in August, and if you do really well, you'll probably finish, you know, end of November, start of December. So it's a really cramped season. Your typical schedule looks like, you know, game on a Friday night, game on a Tuesday night, you know, same can be, you know, same again. So you're basically playing two games a week, every week. So as a coaching point of view, it's not really, you don't really have a lot of time to get, like, work on your ideas kind of thing. It's more like rest, recovery, you know, staying sharp kind of thing. But there's not a lot of, like, a lot of time to be like, okay, I mean, I say that a lot of sessions were kind of based on, like, this is what this team will do. But, I mean, you don't get, like, a week's preparation like you do here, like, okay, this week we've got so-and-so, so Tuesday we'll work on this, and then work on it. It's kind of a case of, like, we're playing this, what's their main strength, let's work on it kind of thing. So it's intense. Like, that lifestyle is intense because you've still got university fitting around that. So you're training every day. And the facilities out there, as well, as you say, the money that they pump into it. Oops, hang on, sorry, I didn't tell you that. The money that they pump into it is incredible. So the facilities, including the gym, the pitches, the medical side of it is incredible. So even if boys are playing two games a week, they're still getting the right medical attention in terms of, like, machines and the recovery that they need. So, yeah, can't talk well enough about that system and the money that they put into it. Really an incredible setup.
And what was your degree that you got in the end?
Economics. So when I came back, I did try and use it, but, I mean, what I'm interested in is more like stock trading kind of thing. And in Aberdeen, you're not really going to get a whole lot of that. So I need to work out where I'm going to actually try and apply that. And just now, it's not really a great time to be applying for jobs. So I have to wait and see when I can actually get to use it.
Yeah, I've noticed doing my research on you before we come on, you had a number of accolades at your time over there. Yeah. So you're obviously done quite well. You were well liked. And did that lead to your training with Columbus Crew as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I said, the first 3 years I was at a school that probably nationwide wasn't that recognised for, you know, producing players ready for the MLS kind of thing. We were a good team, but, I mean, I went there because, like, the finances were there. And there was a lot of, like, English and Scottish boys there, so it was, you know, a really good laugh as well, whilst the standard being really good. But, yeah, my first year I won quite a lot of awards, actually. Like, they have this thing, like, newcomer of the year and, like, what they call, like, a freshman. And our team won the league and did quite well in the national tournament and stuff. So that helped me win awards. I had a really good defence in front of me, know how it works. If the team doesn't concede, the keeper gets all the credit kind of thing. So, really good. And then second, third year, I think it was a second, was after, no, yeah. After my third year is, oh, no. Let me get this right. Yeah, so during my third year is when I trained at Columbus. So basically after two good years. And then during the third year, I went to Columbus to train with them for a week or two. And then, I mean, how they work it there is that you can't steal a player out of university until they graduate kind of thing. So you can't be 2 years through your degree and some team come in and be like, right, you're coming with us kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's just not, like, the colleges don't allow that. So they just kind of said, keep tabs. Maybe you come down and train again, like, in the winter or Christmas time. I was like, I'm going home then, so that's not really going to work kind of thing. So just kept in touch with the keeper coach and assistant coach and stuff. And obviously after my third year, I actually moved to university, and that's when I moved into, like, New York City and was on the radar for New York Red Bull. And then after a couple of games, playing for my new school, and I met up with a scout from the Red Bull and just chatted with him and said, like, you know, we're interested in taking you at the end of the year kind of thing, come train with us and whatnot. So I had a good relationship with him. So come the end of the year, so you're talking maybe December time, it was cold, it was freezing, so it was like December, end of November, our season had finished. And it was kind of just like crunch time for me. I was thinking, all right, how am I staying in this country? Because obviously I wanted to stay, and my best way was through, you know, trying to sign for a team. So I trained with Red Bull a couple of times, enjoyed it, even though it was absolutely freezing. And then I had to go home. Well, so at the end of the year, especially if you've done your 4 years, you get, you know, the MLS every year has like a, what they call a combine, which is basically like they invite who they think like the best 50 players of that year category down to Orlando, you know, to play in front of like all the MLS scouts, like all the teams, they will have scouts down and you play in front of them. But I actually didn't get my invitation until much later. I thought I'd maybe miss the boat because each MLS team has 8 international spots. So like, as we've seen over the years, they save them for like big money superstars, like your Zlatans, Rooney's, Kaka, Beckham, whoever. So those spots are pretty, you know, they're valued. So they're not that they're not going to give it to a young goalkeeper, but if they're going to give it to a young foreigner, they're probably expecting it to be someone who's going to make an impact straight away in their first team, not for their reserve team or for their bench or whatever. So if I'm being honest, I remember speaking to my coach at university, and he was telling me which teams were interested or whatnot. So I remember just being like, I'm not expecting anything to come of this. Because if I was a MLS head coach, I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, give me that young Scottish goalkeeper, you know, like, no, I'd be like, give me Zlatan or some young Brazilian striker that's coming out. No. So I was just happy to be in the conversation kind of thing. So how you get notified is that each team gets like votes for each position. So, you know, Columbus Crew will get 5 votes for 5 goalkeepers that they want to see, 5 defenders, 5 midfielders, whatever. So once every team's locked in their numbers, it goes out to whatever school you go to. So I remember getting a phone call, something stupid like 6:30 in the morning from my head coach. We were training at 7, but I still wasn't really awake. Just rolling out of bed. I just remember being like, what? Hopefully training's off or something. Here we are. perfect. But no, he was super hyper, far too hyper for it to just be training's off. I remember saying, you need to come to my office. Don't bother going out to training. Like, come into my office. I'm thinking, oh, God, what have I done? Like, I'm trying to think last night, how did I do anything stupid? Like, what's happened? But no, went into his office half awake and he was just kind of, I've got some good news. You know, like a lot of, like, you know, 5 or 6 teams have like voted to like, they want you to come down to the combine. I was just like, does that mean I'm in? He goes, no. And I was just like, oh, so what are you getting excited about? He's like, well, you know, if this amount of teams are wanting to see, there's a good chance you'll make it down to the combine. And I was like, oh my goodness, maybe. But until you get your invitation in your hand, you're not getting too ahead of yourself kind of thing. So given that information, I was kind of like, oh, you know, bit of optimism. But I realised I was leaving the country in about 10 days or something. So I was like, if I don't get my invite before then, I'm not going to go home, fly back kind of thing. So here we are. But yeah, so I didn't get my... So I also left university for the Christmas break at about 10 December. And then it was on my birthday, the 29th of December. So everything had kind of gone cold for a while. Like, spoke to my coach a few times that, yeah, still haven't heard anything but from the MLS or anything. So birthday night out with my pals and whatnot, and standing about, and I think it was Revolution in Aberdeen on a night out. So the time difference is 5 hours from New York to Aberdeen. So I think it was like 1:30 our time. Check my phone and there's about 3 missed calls from the coach in America. I'm thinking, for goodness sake, what does he want? After a few drinks, I'm not thinking anything, you know, football related. I'm thinking, what could he possibly want? So I remember going outside by the smokers area, just trying to like listen. I was like, what's going on? Like, what do you want kind of thing? Obviously, like, pretty half cut at the time, basically shouting down the phone to him. I always remember he just said, take a minute. I was obviously just screaming at him, like, what do you want? And that's how I found out. He phoned me just being like, yeah, I've just got an email from the boy at MLS. You know, your invite's just getting sent out to you now. Check your email kind of thing. I just remember for there being like, goodness me, I'm not the best state here. I'm not the best preparation for going. I just didn't think it was going to happen because the invitation was so late. So this event was starting on January the 4th. So I had, from there on, I was just, you know, getting water in, try going a few runs. So I can't say the preparation for it was the best, but no, I was just over the moon to get the invite. I think it kind of made the whole, not as if I didn't get the invite, the whole 4 years wouldn't have been worth it, but it was beyond anything I could ever expected when I first went out there. Like, it never crossed my mind when I first went out to be like, yeah, I'll end up going to that combine and, you know, playing in Orlando and all that. So, no, it was a great way to end 4 years. I think if I told my dad as I left for the first time that I would have ended up there, I think we would have both laughed at each other kind of thing. So, really good.
It was interesting, we spoke to Jamie Stevenson a few weeks ago, and when he left to go to Spain, he sort of missed home quite bad after like less than a year, I think it was. Did you kind of have that kind of thought in the back of your mind that actually I want to go home?
Yeah, well, I remember listening to Ted's your discussion with Ted there a couple of weeks ago, and I could relate to it because, I mean, the first couple of weeks you're out there, you're kind of just full of adrenaline, and then you get into your routine. But it's kind of, once you get used to your routine, it becomes normal. I think you get more time to think about home and like how homesick you are, because I think you can disguise it with how busy you are. But I remember, you know, after my first 6 months, I was really ready. Like, you get a Christmas break, and I remember being like, yeah, I'm choking to come home. But I mean, with the availabilities of FaceTime and stuff, you know, it makes it 10 times easier. And once I went back out, I didn't really get homesick after that, because once you come home, you realise your pals are still the same idiots as they are. Your family is always going to be there. You realise that your better life, well, for me anyway, it was out in America. So I was just raring to get back and going. So, but I understand with Ted, obviously, he was a bit different. He had like family and whatnot. So probably a bit of a different scenario for him. He probably wasn't quite living the same lifestyle, so I didn't really have the option being like, yeah, I'm just going to sack it just now and head back.
Was there ever a point that you felt like quit?
Pre-season, when it was 37.5 degrees, that first pre-season, thinking, this is not good. Because I remember when I went out there, I actually failed the first fitness test, because I wrapped, like, part of it was a goalkeeper-specific one, you know, up-down, touch this cone. I remember you had to get a certain time, and I just made a mess of it. Probably wasn't fit enough either, but I remember just like going the wrong way and whatnot, and just made a right mess of it, and ended up failing it. And then if you fail your fitness test, you're in boot camp for a week, and that's when I was like, yeah, this is, I don't know if I'm made out for this kind of thing. But no, it was the best thing that happened to me, to be honest, because I think that gave me I did well in boot camp, I think my head coach at the time, you know, kind of gained some more respect for me kind of thing, because he probably thought, who's this guy come in and failed the fitness test in his first year and whatnot. So, but on a serious note, probably not. I mean, as I mentioned, a wee bit of homesickness after 5 months, but I realised I was out there for a purpose, you know, enjoying my football, enjoying living in New York, meeting a whole lot of new guys, the social life that came with it. Like, there wasn't any part of that life I was like, I don't know if this is for me kind of thing, you know. Obviously, studying till, you know, 2 a.m. and stuff, but that's never been for me. Even in school, I was just like, oh, I hate this. But as I grew to, like, you know, became more invested in my degree and found it more interesting, the studying just came a lot more natural to me. So, we'd do it all over again, yeah.
That was part one of our interview with Lenny Wilson. I'm sure you'll agree his footballing journey so far has been incredible. Join us later for part two as Lenny tells us about joining Peterhead and his hopes for next season. In the meantime, our thanks go to Lenny for joining us and our sponsor, Marco's Chipper. And of course, you guys for listening as always. We'll see you all again soon. Cheers.